I want to start with you, sharing with you, that Muslims are growing rapidly all over the world, including America and Europe. It is estimated that between 25 and 30% of world populations are Muslims. Now, most of these Muslims never received good answers to their questions about God and the Christian faith. They are very confused about our Christian faith. Muslims ask, for example, you Christians, how could you expect us to believe in a good, loving, heavenly Father who watched his son being murdered and did nothing to save him? If you are a son, you saw some of criminals killing your son, wouldn't you go to rescue your son? Don't you love your son? That's what a good, loving, heavenly Father would have done if Jesus is his son. I'll give you a quick idea about an answer. We know that Muslims consider Abraham a great prophet. He's recorded in the Quran. And commanded to take his life as an example to follow. And we know from the Quran, I studied the Quran. You don't have to do that, just focus on the Bible. That God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son. And Abraham tried to sacrifice his son. God stopped him. So we ask Muslims, you believe Abraham is a good prophet, a good father? Muslim will tell you, of course he was. How can you explain that he did not merely watch his son being murdered? Actually, one day he was taking his son in one hand and a knife to butcher him with the other. And Muslims now are thinking about even their own beliefs, so you are constructing a bridge. And we tell Muslims, do you agree with me? And he will agree. If Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son to God, then he proved that he has perfect sacrificial love toward God. Muslims, of course he proved that. My Muslim friend, that's exactly what God wants you to discover about him, because we read in the gospel, Romans 5, verse 8, God manifested, demonstrated his own love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Would you agree with me that if Abraham was willing to give his son to God, then he proved beyond any doubt that he is willing and ready to give God anything he has, everything he has? Muslim would say, yes. And that's exactly, my friend, what God wants you to discover about himself. Because we read in the gospel, Romans 8, verse 32, about God, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously, along with him, give us all things? My Muslim friend, God wants you to know that he loves you. He gave you himself. And he wants to give you the best life you can ever have on earth as you walk with him and know his word. And he will give you eternal life. And he proved it by giving you Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus now, you repented of your sins, you will experience God's love and forgiveness and salvation. So now, we are not ignoring their objection. Actually, we are using their objections as a stepping stone to the gospel to make a far more powerful presentation of Jesus than any normal presentation would have achieved. Okay, why this is important? Because we know from the gospel of Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gave us a parable of some seed, the word of God, fell by the wayside. And Jesus described these people that received the word of God and did not understand it. Okay, you remember? And it was easy for Satan, the wicked one, to snatch away the word of God that was sown in their lives. They did not understand it. It did not go deep. So God wants us to help Muslims understand the beauty, the depth, the logic, the reasons, the evidence, the power of our Christian faith and of God, the beauty of God as he is presented in the gospel. We need to do that. Okay, now, in Genesis 12, thank you, God told Abraham, I will bless you and through you all. Underline the word all. This is always God's plan. Is to choose somebody, to choose a group of people and bless them. Yes, because he loves you, but also to use your life to be a blessing to other families. Genesis 17, God promised Abraham, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and greatly increase his number. Wow. You remember when God gave circumcision as a sign of the covenant, Abraham took Ishmael and they were circumcised in the same day. Genesis record God was with Ishmael as he grew up. Wow. Now, Genesis 16, God promised Hagar to multiply her descendants exceedingly. And Hagar was called Abraham's wife one time in the Bible. Genesis 16, God himself called Abraham's unborn son Ishmael, which means God hears. And in the same verse, God heard Hagar's affliction. And Genesis 21, God heard Ishmael crying. And God wants us to hear the cry of Muslims. They are crying now more than ever. Because in the past 56 years, Muslims have been killing each other and attacking each other. Are crying. If there is any answer to life's, most important question, where is God? Our religious leaders failed to help us love each other and all that. Genesis 21, do you remember this beautiful story? When Hagar and Ishmael ran out of water in the desert and they were dying from thirst, brought tears from my eyes. Did God let them die? No. God intervened, told Hagar, do not be afraid. I heard Ishmael crying. Lift up Ishmael by the hand. I will make into him a great nation. Wow. And God personally, through a miracle, opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well of water, and he saved their lives. You know, I used to work as a defense lawyer in Egypt. Then I repented, and I came here. Good. Pastor Thomas told me, Sammy, try to have a good time. Yeah. I love his sense of humor. Anyway, I forgot what I want to say. What did I say, lastly?
Defense attorney in Egypt.
Yeah, I repented and came here. It will come back later. It's okay. That's normal with age, you know. Oh, I remember now. Thank you. Thank you, Elisa. God told me, since I told you that I, through a miracle, saved Hagar and Ishmael's life, then Ishmael's birth was not just merely or simply a mistake Abraham did. It proves God's special love for Ishmael and that he has good eternal plans from his birth and the birth of his children. because God saved their lives and actually said gentle, loving words. Why this is important? Because we know from Isaiah, from 1 Chronicles chapter 1, that Ishmael's name and his first two born sons' names, Kedar and Nebaioth, were recorded in the genealogies of the holy texts. So focus with me now. This is very interesting. Ishmael's first two sons, Kedar and Nebaioth. Isaiah 21 told us that the Arab people came from Kedar. Isaiah 21. Why this is important? Very important. Because as I was praying like 20 years ago, God gave me the words to share in your church. God told me, look at Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, God said, you can read it. I don't know if we have it here. Yeah. All Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offering on my altar. Dun, 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 dun. This is very exciting prophecy. And I will tell you why. Are you paying attention? Praise God. I searched the Christian commentaries. I always like to search Christian commentaries, especially the Old Testament, because sometimes it's hard for me to understand. And I discover that the time God inspired the prophet Isaiah to say these words, actually Kedar and Nebaioth already had been dead 1,000 years ago. Clearly, God was not referring to the person of Kedar and Nebaioth, because they had been dead. Are you with me? God was referring to their descendants. The flocks and rams of Kedar and Nebaioth will be accepted on my offering. Now, I remember when God called me and my wife to start a nonprofit ministry and not to take a paid position with my church. They offered a paid position. And my wife told me, no, our ministry is not only for one church. Our ministry should be free to fly wherever, do whatever God called us to do. I told her, okay. I hope you're right. And then we, you know, Christian Americans, everything almost good happened to our ministry. It happened through Christian Americans. Just want you to know that. So Christian Americans told us, okay, since you are not going to get a paid staff with Calvary Chapel, Costa-Mesa, how about if you start a nonprofit ministry? I said, okay. And, you know, I don't know how to do that, but they told me we're going to help you. So the first question we had, which Bible verse we are going to put in our letterhead? That was like, very exciting. We're going to be like Franklin Graham and, you know. And then as soon as we asked the question, immediately God gave us both John 10:16. Read that verse. Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must also bring them. They will listen to my voice and they shall become one flock, one shepherd. God wants his church to know that multitudes of the sheep are the flocks of Kedar and Nebaioth, Ishmael's first two sons. Arabs and Muslims will be gathered with their families. They will believe in Jesus and they will be saved in the day of the harvest. It's just a matter of time. When? Actually, in the past 40, 50 years, more Muslims came to Christ all over the Muslim world than in the past 1,400 years. I know in Egypt, with my close contact with Egyptian pastors and leaders, they told me about 5 million came to Christ, including, you know, my wife was one of them. And she was thrown in prison. And thank God for the American government, they got her out. But she was studying to become a Muslim teacher in Al-Azhar Islamic University, like Dallas Theological Seminary. Anyway, let me move on to Isaiah 19, verse 21. God promised to save Muslims in Egypt. The Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians. They will know the Lord in that day.
Wow, God already started fulfilling the prophecy.
So I'm excited because now, for the past year, through the financial partners, we will be able to afford to give one of the largest Arabic Christian satellite TV my programs, my videos in Arabic and in English to broadcast them to Europe, the Middle East, all the Middle East, and America. Praise God. Because and now I am planning to go back again in April, God willing, to connect with Christian pastors, leaders, and to see how can our ministry support them more. We already sent a few checks, but will be regular. Now, Isaiah 19:25, God said, blessed be Egypt, my people, your people. That's what God said. Assyria, the work of my hand, Israel, my inheritance. We know from Acts 2 that Arabs and Egyptians were evangelized in their own Arabic language in the day of Pentecost. Now, Revelation 5 tells us that people in heaven will come from every tribe, every language, from all over the world. Muslims are growing all over the world. We got prophecies. We got reality. In the past 40, 50 years, more Muslims came to Christ than in the past. So conclusion, I love conclusion. God already saved the multitudes of Muslims, including Saudi Arabia and all that. And God, in the next few years, will save huge number of Muslims. Actually, when I spoke here maybe 8, 9 years ago, I said, God is going to save multitudes of Muslims before we got the news. God did it. But since Jesus is coming back soon and since, you know, all these things are happening, God will save more Muslims in the next near future and after we are taken to be with Jesus. The only question that remains to be answered is who God will use to tell them about Jesus. Is God going to use you and me or is he going to use somebody else? Now, you know, one time I was hit by a drunk driver. I was in the hospital, couldn't walk for a few months. And I told God, God, I thought you're going to use me more. You know, I'm doing important things. And God told me, calm down. You think I need you? No, I am giving you the privilege to serve me. And I want you to be in the hospital. I don't want you to walk for a few months. I want you to focus with me. Be filled more with my presence. So I did, but God thought this is not enough, and I had the COVID for 15 years. We're dying in the hospital. No oxygen. God told me, you need to be filled more of my presence. Anyway, all that to tell you, God does not need me or does not need you. God can send 100 million angels and tell Muslims about Jesus through angels in human form. He can do that or no? Easy. And whoever is going to repent and receive Jesus is going to be saved. Whoever say no, too bad. Why God is not doing that and making my life, you know, easy? Why he's giving me that burden and passion and wants me to labor by his grace and to be more like Jesus and be used by him? Two reasons. I forgot to say that first service, but you can tell them. The first reason is, God wants me to live the most meaningful life and the most fruitful life. So he wants me to do something with him, like you're asking your child to do something, you know. Two, God wants me to receive the most eternal rewards. Because remember, everyone will be rewarded according to his labor or according to his sacrifice. Okay, I told you that. Now, what is the good news? The good news is, which made me very exciting, and don't want to waste any of my time, me and my wife are so passionate, so excited to live, to wake up in the morning. Why? Because God gave us many praise reports that he is using our ministry and our book through Christian Americans to help, according to the reports we got, thousands of Muslims become believers of Christ. Now, I can't share with you all of them, but I will share with you a few because this is very important in the big picture, very important for you to know for sure. And I love to prove my case. I used to be a good lawyer in Egypt. 90% of my clients were hanged. No, I'm just kidding. No. No. Okay. I received an email from one of the Calvary Chapel leader in Africa. You know, he was so happy to see me in one of the conferences. And he said, Sammy, I'm going to send you email. I told him, great. He said, his name is Isaac Wooten. He said, for more than 10 years now, we routinely see between 50 and 100 Muslims a year make decisions for Christ because we have learned how to reach them and share with them through the chapters of your book. We lead them to saving faith in Christ. Many of them are baptized and join a local church. Another email from our mission pastor, Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, John Chubek. He is now our mission pastor. He used to be a missionary in Europe. So he sent me an email. He said, we gave your book to a very dedicated Muslim Iraqi lawyer. After the lawyer read your book, he had become a Christian. Pastor John Chubek, a very famous mission pastor. I received an email from an Iranian lady. I'm just giving you an example what's happening, what God is doing. My father is Iranian and was raised in the Muslim religion. When I became a Christian 19 years ago, I bought him a Bible in Farsi. You know, he did not understand. Over the years, he has had many questions, which my husband and I have done our best to answer. However, when I got hold of your book in Farsi, I was so excited to share it with him. About a month later, as he and I spoke, he couldn't stop telling me how much he loved the book and how every, you know, he finally understands, you see, the difference between the Quran and the Bible, between being a Muslim and being a Christian. I am so thankful for your book. It has answered, see, many of his questions and giving him clarity. Muslims are very confused. I am pleased to say he considers himself a Christian now. I spoke at Calvary Chapel Tallahassee in Florida so many times, even before 9/11, and many Americans got the book and by faith, and they met Muslims later and they gave them the book. So I got an email from Malak. My name is Malak. I am originally from Lebanon. I came to the city to study. I am a Muslim. I have always been a Muslim. And she think that's, she told me that's a very good thing. Since I read your book, I fell in love with God. I am now happier than before. The last email Malak sent to me, thanks for helping me experience and enjoy God's love and salvation. Amen. Another email from the university, I don't know how many books landed in American universities. We tried to get it there. I got it from Walter Johnson, a full-time Christian minister with his team. We're trying to win a Turkish Muslim to Christ, but they couldn't. And Walter sent me email, Sammy, my Turkish friend Mehmet said that he could consider the Bible and read it after he read Glad News. After a few months, he got baptized. Now, sharing actively with other Muslims while he works on his PhD here in the USA, we were all so thrilled. Thank you for writing the book. This one, maybe that's last one. I got it from one of the ex-leaders of Voice of the Martyrs, Pastor David Witt. He has his own ministry now. He said, I'm glad to share with you wonderful news of your book. Glad news, God loves you, my Muslim friend. Impacting lives in North Africa. Wow, you do something for God and you never know how much God's going to use it. I said, wow, you know, tears coming out of my eyes, impacting lives in North Africa. I thought I'm going to give the book to Muslims in Orange County, California. And they, you see, you walk by God, with God by faith, and God will use you way, Ephesians 3, verse 20, way more than you can expect. And then he said, I was able to send them one Arabic glad news to share with the MBBB, Muslim Background Believers. Actually, I forced him to take the book. I said, take the book, send it. And he said, it was good encouragement to the work. Our MBBB contact emailed us later saying that this one book traveled the nation and two Muslims accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Now they are requesting 500 books. Of course, we put the book in the website because we can't afford to send thousands of books all over in 13 languages. Anyway, I want you to notice he said this book traveled the nation. He's exaggerating, but it shows that Muslims are thirsty people drinking from salty water. They found something, glad news, God loves you, my Muslim friends. Said, God loves me? How can God love me? I am a slave, God is a master. No, I explained, God wants you to become his child. So many Muslims, when they discover God loves you, said, wow, I'm going to run to Jesus. I want to become God's child. Amen. Okay, the last email David Witt sent to me, he said, your book has made the Mauritanian news. That made me dance in my condo. Mauritanian news, I told him, what do you mean? He said, the Mauritanian government discovered that so many Muslims, after they read your book in Arabic, they start reading the Bible and their heart is open to the word of God. And they get saved. So they put in the newspaper a copy of my book in Arabic and a copy of the Bible and warned the people in Mauritania and North Africa not to read these two books. You should be laughing now. They gave me the best advertisement in North Africa. Are you with me?
Amen.
See what God's doing? No. This is you can praise God later. This is from Horizon School of Evangelism. We won a Muslim to Christ when I spoke there, Mike McIntosh, 1998, from Pastor Chris Olson. He was the director of evangelism, Horizon School of Evangelism. This from Calvary Chapel Corona. A Muslim woman came to Christ. This is from San Luis Obispo. This is from the ex-director of California Southern Baptist Convention. This is from Chuck Smith. I mean, from Antioch Calvary Chapel. This one is before 9/11. When I obeyed God in 2000, I got a letter from the secretary, and she told me, Vicky, I don't know if she's still there, I want to share with you how helpful your book was to several of our Kosovo team members. As a direct result of your book, one of our team members was able to welcome two new believers into the kingdom of God. Last one, this one from a Muslim salesman. Somebody gave him a book, and he came to Christ. Salesman was a Muslim. This one from Virginia. Hi, Sammy. Just a brief note of great news. I have a Muslim friend I have been sharing with for over 15 years. A few months ago, I gave him a copy of Glad News. After reading it, he called me and said, no one can read this book without his eyes being open. I spoke to him recently. He told me he has prayed and now trusts in Christ for his salvation. You know, I can't read to you all of them, but I want to move to the Word of God. But you got the point. I have evidence that God already started fulfilling the prophecy. Thank you, Mario. I love Mario and Rhonda and their daughter, Elissa. I couldn't just had enough of fellowship last night. Anyway, now, the next slide, Tim, why God is saving Muslims and want to save more and want to save all people? Because God is love. God loves people. And God finds his greatest pleasure in having a relationship with somebody that doesn't know him. It doesn't make a difference to God, Muslim or Jew or Spanish, black, Asian, doesn't make a difference. Okay, and the greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And if we love God, we want to make him happy. And there is a celebration in heaven when one sinner repents. Luke 15, I think. Okay, now we listen to my pastor's audio. Before I forget, Pastor Jacques.
A co-worker, or I think it's one of our friends, was Muslim. We talk here and there. I'm not as knowledgeable as I should be about the Bible. And I would love to keep one out of them and try to help them. You know, because I'm concerned. But it's hard to answer some of his questions concerning the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I'd love to know what to do, what kind of format to go through, whether it's giving him a book. I had given him a Bible.
Pastor Chuck Smith.
A fellow here at church who is an Egyptian, and he probably knows more about the Muslim faith than what they know.
That's me.
First in the Muslim religion. He's written a book titled God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. And many Muslims have been converted after reading this book. So I would suggest if you want to give your friend something that would really help him, because it takes the Muslim beliefs and it sort of takes the Bible and sort of shows comparisons and so forth. And I would highly recommend that you give him this book by Sammy Tanaho, God Loves You, My Muslim.
Praise God. Thank you. Okay, so now the next, this is my wife. I told you already, I didn't get a good night's sleep last night. So I told you she was ex-Muslim. I have a DVD of her story. I can't say, if you want to pick up one, pick up one. Anyway, the next slide, Tim, we don't have time. God want to save even the bad people. We don't have time for this. Next. When you see a Muslim, tell him, Salam Alaikum. Okay, remember, God wants to prepare you before he gives you opportunity with a Muslim person. Tell him, Salam Alaikum, and give him Glad News book. Easy, even if you don't want to read it. And you tell me, oh, I don't know any Muslim. It doesn't matter. Get a book by faith, and they pray for divine appointment to give the book to a Muslim or to give it to another Christian or to a pastor. Represent me in Texas. I don't have anyone represent. Anyway, Muslims are frightened from God. Now, I was speaking a few years ago at Mississippi State University, was invited by the chief engineer, and one of the engineers studying to get a higher degree, I think. He told me, I am a Muslim. I am not frightened from God. I told him, yeah, you are not, because you don't know the facts. He said, what facts? I told him, here I put all the facts. Muhammad was frightened from God, insecure, doesn't know where he's going, hell or heaven. And all his companions were frightened from God, the Muslim leaders. And they said, what made you say that? I said, I studied. I was in law school. I was a lawyer. I studied. This is my calling, is to help you. And he said, do you have evidence? I told him, I was a defense lawyer. I put the best evidence. It took me 8 years to put them, actually. And he said, I'll buy your book. I told him, no, it's my gift to you. We only sell it to Americans. You know, you know, somebody has to pay, you know. I proved it to you that Muslims are ripe for the gospel. God wants to equip you. Make no mistake about it. Even if you don't know any Muslim, God wants you to be prepared to give an answer. So when he provides a divine appointment, you can make the most out of it. Ephesians 4, God gave the church pastors and teachers, actually brought me from Egypt here. 50% of my calling is to equip you to do the works of the ministry. And I haven't been traveling maybe one time in the past 2-3 years because of the pandemic and because I am focusing on recording radio programs and satellite TV programs. So don't take this for granted that I came here, because I don't go every week or every month or even every year to a new church. So God is the one who chooses the door he's going to open and who he's going to use, not me. Thank God for Pastor Thomas. He told me, I want you to come. I said, great. Okay, so this, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
But God is saying, how can they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how can they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without you and me? But remember, Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12, God gave the church pastors and teachers to equip the church to do the works of the ministry. So who is going to do the works of the ministry? The church, you and me. And you'd be surprised if I told you, almost all the Muslims came to Christ did not come through me. It came through Christian Americans. Whether bought the book or donated $15 a month, helped us to have radio programs, satellite TV programs. And, you know, the church is the one that's doing the ministry. That's why I cannot take credit. I take grateful attitude that God is using me to be part of the process, just doing my part. Okay, now, I need to tell you, I'm glad I remembered my story, doing my part. Now, I was working for my father's legal firm. Almost all our clients were criminals and drug dealers, and all of them were guilty. So I was trying to help them get innocent verdicts. So that includes hiding the truth and finding something wrong with the arrest or the search. Police officer did, and they tried to find, we call it a loophole, or a reason to get them innocent victim. And God convicted me. God told me, you're making the guilty innocent, and you are living for yourself to build your kingdom. You are not living for me. You are betraying your love to me. God spoke to me heavily. So I was crying and struggling between the flesh and the spirit. The flesh wants to be a successful lawyer like my father, grandfather, and look good in front of my family, make a lot of money, go all over the world. And the spirit tell me, you are outside of God's will. So I didn't know what to do. It was hard for me to let go of what I have, my family, wonderful family. Anyway, God won by his grace through speaking to me from Hebrew 11. I told God, what can I do? I can't leave my father. Where do I go? What do I do? I don't know. And God told me, by faith, that Moses, when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He actually chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin for a season. So God told me, you think you are smart? Where is your grandfather, that famous big shot Tanago attorney in Egypt? He's dead. He lost all his lands, all his properties, all his legal offices. He's nothing. He lived for himself and he's dead. And your father is going to die. And if you continue in their footsteps, you're going to die and lose everything. But look at Moses. He thought, using your mind is good. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of God, for the sake of Christ, than to enjoy the treasures of Egypt. Why he thought that? Because he was looking, the Bible said, to his reward. Aha! So God spoke to me and said, you know, I was reading Hebrew 11 and crying. God, you're speaking to me? Are you speaking to me? You want me to leave Egypt? I left Egypt by faith, came to America. And for 17 years, I worked as a waiter before I got a job in the government. But I studied English intensely and studied legal terminology. UCI was prepared to become a lawyer again. Before I became a lawyer, God brought my wife. the ex-Muslim, and she said, listen, I was willing to sacrifice my life for my faith in Christ. Can't you sacrifice your legal career? So God brought us together to do this, to fulfill our calling, to help Muslims who are deceived. I told her, no, I can't. And she said, at least can you pray about it? I told her, yeah, I can pray about it, but you are wrong. I am a lawyer. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm not going to work as a waiter for the rest of my life and waste all my legal training. And my, I am a smart guy. And she said, just pray about it. I said, I'll pray. I started praying, and God told me, your wife is right. First thing, why you didn't tell me that directly, God, you know? Actually, he answered me. He answered me. He said, because you are thinking what is the best thing to do, but your wife prays more what I want you to do. But now she can't do that because I pray equal to her or even more than her. So anything she tell me, I tell her, I know. No, this is serious, serious. Okay, so I started praying, and God said, listen, I talked to you about Moses. Don't be tired of being a waiter and of walking by faith. You need to continue to walk by faith. I did not call you to come to America to be rich and famous and have prestige with your family. I called you to here so you can be used by me. And you have to trust me that I will provide for your needs and use you. I told God, but, you know, losing my background, you know, since I was a child, I am trained to analyze, to do research, to prove a case. God told me, you are not going to waste your background. You're going to use your legal training, your ability to analyze issues, to do the best research, to collect evidence, but you are going to use it for me, not for you. I told God, okay, reluctantly. And God said, are you willing to love me with all your mind? Use all your mind. Keep your stupid job. Serve the people in the restaurant. Humbly trust me and use your mind to write a book to answer the question that Muslims have. That was many years before 9/11. Use your mind. Start working. Don't, your wife is right. Don't waste time. I want you, and working as a waiter is helping you to deny yourself and to have more of me. Keep walking. So I start believing that this is what God wants me to do. I went to a prayer meeting at Open Door headquarters in Santa Ana. And after I shared with them, I think 1996 or 97, they asked me, is there anything you want us to do for you? I said, yes, I feel God wants me to write a book, but I am a waiter. English is my second language. I don't own a computer or typewriter. I don't know how I can write a book. And after they prayed with me, one of them told me, I am an editor. I'll edit your book. I told her, I don't have any money. I barely serve. She said, I'm not interested in your money, young man. I'm interested in helping you fulfill your calling. I told her, great. Do you know how to put it in the computer? It's going to take hundreds of hours. I don't even know what to write. And she said, don't worry. You spoke at Calvary Chapel East Anaheim, Pastor Bob Coponet, I think in 1995 or 96. I told her, yeah. And she said, the manager of the bookstore, Richard Frizzle, he said, I want to help Sammy to fulfill his calling. If you start researching, start writing, I will call Richard and we will meet at his home. Richard Frizzle is still the manager of Calvary Chapel East Anaheim Bookstore, and he will help us put everything. I told her, this is going to be changed a lot. And she said, don't worry, let me call Richard. She called Richard, and Richard said, 3 nights a week, we meet at my house. Actually, his wife is handicapped, and he's working full-time as a geologist. So he could have said, no, I don't need to do anymore. I already serve my church. I already do this, take care of my wife. But he said, yes, 3 nights a week come. We did the book. See, everything happened by Christian Americans. Thank God that he brought me to America. So the book was written, and thousands of Muslims coming to Christ. All that to tell you what Jesus said is true. Mark 8. Let me remind you, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. Lose it mean you will live the most trivial, superficial, meaningless life. And before you die, you're going to die miserable. Why are you going to die miserable? Because you will discover that you did very little to the one we were singing, worthy, to the one who is worthy of all our love, the one who is worthy of our lives. You know, when your wife or husband loves you so much, you want to do something for them, you know? I will do anything for my wife. Even, you know, I want to cut my hair 3 months ago. And she told me, no, I like you like that. I told her, okay. You know, if you like me that, I'll do anything so you will like me more, you know. So why I want to do anything for her? Because she loved me more than I deserve. Why I want to do something? Why I want to live my life for God and help more people to spend eternity with him and satisfy his heart? Why? Because I feel like, wow, I am a horrible sinner. God saved me by his grace. I am still a sinner. I still make mistakes. And God always forgives me. And God is opening doors for me to be used by him. And God is giving me everything good in my life. So I don't want to, before I die, have the thought that I did not reciprocate. I did not express about my love and gratitude. So that's what Satan wants to stop us. So also, it was difficult, very difficult in the beginning, walking by faith, losing my legal career, losing my family, losing my language, my culture. But God gave me a family all over the United States, like Mario and Randa and Elisa. I can talk to them until 11:30 last night, and they listen. My blood and flesh family will not even listen to me that much. You know, my blood family consider me a failure because I live in 875 square feet and, you know, and I am not like them, rich and all that. But my spiritual family tell me, yes, go for it, Sammy. We are with you. And they are helping me to fulfill my goal. Now, Jim Elliot, one of the great missionaries I respect, admire, said something very true in harmony with Jesus' words. He said he is no fool to lose that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. I love it. Now, very, very important story C.S. Lewis shared. C.S. Lewis is a deep thinker, so I like to read and learn from great Christian leaders. Anyway, he said one of the demons ran to Satan panicking and told him, Satan, look at all these Christians. They gathered every week. They sing beautiful songs to God, and they study the Bible. They start understanding the Word of God. And Satan told him, come down, demon. With a smile, wicked smile. And they told him, don't panic. As long as we can stop them from taking actions, they can cause no harm to our kingdom. So Satan's strategy number one is to tell you, don't repent of your sins. Don't believe in Jesus that he paid the penalty for your sins. You're going to lose fun. You're going to lose everything good in life. A lie. You're going to lose garbage compared to what God will give you. Satan's strategy number two, if you became a born-again Christian, a child of God, he will tell you, okay, now you are born again. You are a child of God. God is with you. God will bless you. You are going to heaven. Enjoy your life now. Enjoy your life. And God will bless you, and you are a child of God. Satan will do anything to you and to me to stop us from living to help people spend the eternity with God. Remember this. Satan will do anything to you to stop you from serving your church, from being a blessing to your church, because your church is not really your church. It is Christ's church. So when you are a blessing to your church, you are strengthening the family of God. Satan will do anything to stop you from helping people spend the eternity with him. So remember that. Okay, now, why it's important, I want you to get as many Glad News books as possible. Even if you don't have enough money, you know, pay whatever you want to pay. Now, why? Because I read in one of the mission courses materials that about, or I forgot to say that in the first service. So share it with the people that coming in this room. About 60% of Christians said good written Christian materials helped us to become Christians. So God uses everything. God uses audio, Christian materials, videos, everything. Okay, now, why next one, Tim, don't sleep now. Muslims are God-conscious people. Do we have anything else? No more. Okay, then I have to tell you this. In Romans 8, the Word of God said something very interesting. How can they call, you know, people, how can they call on him to save them if they never believed in him? Romans 10, I think verses 13 to 15. How can they believe in him if they had never heard about him? And of course, hearing and understanding. How can they hear about him? Thank you so much, Tim. Tim is an awesome guy. Without it, how can they hear about him without it? You and me. Okay, now, I mentioned to you Muslims are God-conscious people. Muslims remind me of Cornelius. Cornelius, in Acts 10, he was not a Jew nor born-again Christian, right? But interestingly, the Bible records that he was a man that believed in God, the Creator. He did not know who God is and how to have the right relationship with God, but he acknowledged the existence of God. And actually, he was trying to have a good conscience. The conscience is very important. And try to pray to God, help the poor, you know, do whatever he can do. And interestingly, the Bible records God heard Cornelius' prayers and remembered the good things Cornelius is doing. You know, read different translations, New Living Translation on them. And God actually told Peter, Peter, go tell Cornelius about Jesus. And Peter, before he could be used by God, God needed to help Peter overcome his prejudice against a God-fearing man, God-believing man, from a totally different background. And that's what God is trying to do with the church in America today. I will tell you why. Again, this is not me. I read in the mission materials the church in America, church leaders, many of them get upset at me, but I have to tell you this, because this message you are not going to hear from anybody else usually, mostly. The church leaders in America, spend 99.7% of the resources God gave them. They spend them where the church already exists and growing. Usually America or other places where they have churches and missionaries and Bible studies on the radio and so forth. And satellite TV. And they spend 0.3%. 0.3% to extend the reach of the church. They spend 0.3% to share God's love and the Bible and Jesus with the unreached people groups. Unreached people groups, terminology, mean people groups that don't have local church among them. So they don't have a good chance, local, good biblical, teaching church among them. They don't have a missionary. That's why we're so happy to use satellite TV to try to reach unreached people group. And in my next trip to Egypt, I want to connect, and that's why our ministry want to invest more money to support missionaries in Egypt on the ground that reaching unreached villages. Because I can't reach them. Maybe they will not listen to the satellite. Okay, so are you with me? Yes. The church in America now, somebody told me, and I think there is a lot of truth to that. Satan used the terrorist attacks committed by Muslims and war between Muslims and Americans or Muslims with Israel, whatever. Iraq, American soldiers are killed. All of us love America and love the American soldiers and pray for them. But however, Satan used that and he penetrated our hearts and minds and they managed to put negative feelings and thoughts toward Arabs and Muslims. So the church leaders really, their heart is really not in it. You have to have the heart to reach somebody. And that's why God told us, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's why Jesus said, love your enemy. Okay, so I want to finish. I am almost out of time. I'm trying to follow Pastor Thomas' instructions, But God wants to help Christian leaders overcome their prejudice. I love, one of the reasons I love Pastor Bill Quinn. Oh, by the way, he sent a text to Pastor Thomas and told him, have Sammy tell the people that I love him and I love his book. So one of the reasons I love him, that he has heart of love toward all people. And of course, he's doing wonderful things with the children. So he wants to manifest God's love. And that's what God wants us to do. Toward the Muslims, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So I am praying that you, as many of you as possible, will join me in taking actions. There is two things, simple things you can do. One of them, get as many Glad News books as possible by faith. If I run out of books, I'll send them more books. Don't make the money a problem. Pay whatever you want to pay. Anyway, maybe let the people want to pay first, and then I can send you more books. I'll send you more books. I'll buy them from Moody, our publisher. So that's the first thing you can do. And do it by faith. Get the book and say, God, I got the book. It helped Muslims, it equipped Christians to answer questions Muslims have, and it helped Muslims to understand the gospel. God provided for me divine appointment. Maybe you give it to a pastor that has no idea how to witness to Muslims, and the pastor will equip his staff. Maybe you give it to a Muslim. Many people in the first service told me we meet Muslims. Anyway, second, if God guided you above your tithing, make sure it's above your tithing, you can fill this form and donate any amount of money, like $15 a month, to help us continue doing what we are doing, radio programs and satellite TV. And also I am praying God will enable us to generously support the missionaries and the poor churches in Egypt to reach the unreached Muslim people. But pray, most importantly, God use me to bring you pleasure, to help more people, including Muslims, by faith, spend the eternity with you. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We can't thank you enough for who you are and how you deal with us. God, I am the first one to admit and say, I don't deserve your love. I don't even deserve to be used by you. But you chose us, God, by your grace to be your children. And by your grace, you are helping us to be more like Jesus, filled with your spirit. By your grace, God, you are enabling us, changing us, so we can bring you pleasure and help more people spend eternity with you. God, I surrender today to your hand, God, as we started the service, and surrender my brothers and sisters, and I ask you, God, to guide us to be used by you to send as many Muslims as possible to spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.